Okay, good morning, Jema. Before we speak about original thinking, we need to speak about thinking, because thinking itself is a rare phenomena. Most of us don't think. We just flow with the current of thoughts, suggestions, in whatever direction they carry us. So thinking itself is an art and a science, but it's a different subject slightly. So we'll get on to original thinking. And I'm reminded of a little story. And the story goes that king's minister told the king that, well, his boss, that I want to take leave for few months to learn the Gayatri Mantra. So the king said, you need few months to learn the Gayatri Mantra? It's very simple. I'll teach you. I know the Gayatri Mantra with all the intonations, the meaning, the differences. So I can teach you the Gayatri Mantra. That's not a problem at all. So he says that, well, the minister replied. He said to all the people in the Darbar, arrest the king. Everybody is looking askance that what has happened. Why is he saying arrest the king? And the king also is very annoyed. So in his annoyance, he tells all the Darbari, you arrest the minister. Instantly all of them go and they arrest the minister. So minister says, I have proved my point. So what is the point? He said, both of us said the same words. But your words carried a meaning and mine did not. They had the contrary influence. Because we have said the same words, but the power behind them is very different. So original thinking implies two things. One is that there are truths which are floating all over the world. And have we simply accepted them, adopted them blindly, like a WhatsApp gyan, or has it become our own thing? So Mother even goes on to say, we had this beautiful Om Namo Bhagavate. She says, the same mantra, which for me is so rejuvenating, so it means something, invoking the divine presence of the future. In fact, somebody asked me recently, that isn't the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? So I said, yes, that's the Narad's mantra. So why is the mother saying Om Namo Bhagavate? I said, because Vasudeva refers to the immanent divine. And when she says Om Namo Bhagavate, it is not just the divine, but the divine, transcendent divine who is yet to manifest, the divine of the future in the manifestation, the divine in the past, present and future. So she says that somebody else may repeat the same mantra and it may leave him cold as turkey. Because the power is missing, it comes from the heart. It comes when we have gone through a process of receiving things, accepting things. That's why in the ancient times, how the jnana was given in a strange way, that Rishi Pipalad, one of the Upanishads, where six disciples go and they want to know the truth. He says, stay for 1 year. And if after 1 year, if I see you are fit enough, then I'll give this jnana to you. So original thinking implies first that there are things which are true in their own right. But because we have not gone through the process, we have just accepted them by way of authority. And therefore it doesn't work as it must work. It applies in every field, in the field of medicine. Because when we don't understand what has gone behind it and we just accept it on the basis of external authority, then we cannot either improvise or we can use it in the right way, because that's the little difference that book knowledge and wise medical doctor, that difference is there. And that's one of the dangers, by the way, Lalit Bhai, of AI, that it's through Chat GPT we are getting things which are bypassing all the processes. You have an answer. Maybe a so-called perfect answer, far from perfect, but nevertheless. But you don't know the processes that have led you to the answer. And it's killing the evolutionary impulsion. So first is that there are truths both in science, in scriptures, like how Sri Aurobindo long back spoke about vaccine, that for all its merits, it is a dark and dangerous principle. And there were reasons for it. And I remember that time I had kept saying to people, some people were saying, nobody believed it. Now we are having all the documents that, well, it comes with a big load. But that's one subject. So whether in the field of science or in the field of spirituality or in any field, first is, even if there is a truth, question it. How the person has arrived at it. So often when in my own field, when people would say that, well, according to this journal and according to these, so many scholars who have studied, I said, that's not relevant. I want to understand how he arrived at this. Because then you have an idea of what is really gone on. So this is the first part. And the second part, which is important, and that's where Sri Aurobindo says, is to question everything, question every authority. And that's what is happening today. All the children are questioning. It's a very good sign, because when we question everything, then we have a chance to rediscover them in a way that is contemporary, in a way that is useful to us. And that's why when we see today people quoting the scriptures, people quoting this person or that person, simply quoting, but just a little bit of discussion and the whole thing collapses, because they are just parroting. There is a difference. A parrot says the same mantra inside a cage. And even the cage doesn't open, he gets a chili, of course, if he recites the mantra. When a man utters the mantra with all his devotion, all cages open and it flies, his soul soars very high. So for original thinking, we must learn to question. Nothing should be taken on authority. Neither ancient Indian thought, neither European thought. That's also important, because that's another kind of slavery. We see a name tagged. Often I encounter this. So and so authority in Harvard school has said so. So my answer is, so what? That's not relevant, that who has said what, but why he has said so. So this is where we have to understand, and the same thing applies when I said accepting, making these truths their own, that we may read Sri Aurobindo, we may quote Sri Aurobindo, we may quote the mother, write articles on mother and Sri Aurobindo, but have we made those truths our own? If we have not made those truths our own, in some measure, if we are not trying to make those truths our own, then there we are still parroting them. We need to start with the reading, that's important. But we have to start living them, to realize. That's what Sri Aurobindo said. What is the meaning of realization? He says, to make that which you are conceiving in the mind real to yourself. Is the divine real to us, or is just an idea or a concept? So this is how we have to learn to question things. And when we question things, see Sri Aurobindo, like the modern guru, so many questions people asked him. Now there is a difference between questioning and skepticism. Skepticism is doubt for the sake of doubt. I want to doubt everything, and therefore I demolish everything. Now that's not what is called questioning. Questioning is seeking. How can I realize it? How have you arrived at this? Why do you say so? That's questioning. And questioning is a seeker's mind. And doubt is an eternal skeptic who never really finds an answer, because he doubts for the sake of doubt. So there is a difference between these two. And in India, there has been this tendency, and in his article on essay on original thinking, Sri Aurobindo says one of the reasons for India's downfall. One was, of course, Shakti. We stopped worshipping Shakti. But another very important, he says, because we stopped questioning, we started taking things on authority. Sayana's authority, this scriptural authority, that scriptural authority. But if we look at Indian thought, how it flourished through questioning mind, that the Gita, which is considered as the ultimate yoga shastra, the essence of the Upanishads, the highest among the highest truths ever given to man. And see how the Gita proceeds? By questioning mind. Arjun keeps asking Sri Krishna, and Sri Krishna keeps answering. And I think for this, first thing we have to stop doing is to rely on WhatsApp jnana. The most dangerous habit, everything that comes on WhatsApp. See, people are hurried to share. I have seen people sharing Sri Aurobindo's writings. The other day somebody had shared the writing on my group. And you know, it's from Sri Aurobindo, Savitri. Every word is correct. So I had to tell them that, look here, this is spoken by the Asura, by the human ego. So when you quote Shurabindu, so what are you really communicating? Like in Ramayana, Dor Gavar Shudra Pashunari. I often ask people, by the way, do you know who has said? You have said Ramayana. In Ramayana, there are many dialogues said by Ravana, many by Lakshmana. So you are saying Dor Gavar. Forget about explaining it. That comes later. But do you know who has said so? No, we don't know. Period. So we have this tendency to believe anything from authority, and it's very good that now this young generation is questioning. And through that, something new comes up. Just morning's example, because I like to have some live, real experiences of life, which are like pulse. So Unnati, who is sitting here, she suddenly said, why, I used to wonder as a child, why do they have exams? And she had a different reason altogether. Shouldn't we share knowledge and share with each other the answer? I said, yes, knowledge should not be to instill pride and one-upmanship. Knowledge is not meant to prove you are superior. Knowledge is meant to be shared. There is a point there. So then we are talking about how in ashram school we don't have exams, and you know how it helps to foster creativity, nurture creativity. So this is the second aspect, that questioning everything and rediscovering it. Certain things which don't have a basis have to be discarded. Customs, many customs have no basis, or they had a basis. They are no longer relevant today, and so they have to be discarded because they have gone out of time's window. And we must learn to reinvent things. We have to give a new form to the spirit is the same, but to give new forms, and that's required in every field. So this is one part. New form, by that I mean, let's say a doctor, he is a healer. So anything that heals, the water meditation, for example, study it, examine it. But what will the typical medical authority will say? A priori, it will not accept. Why? Because our textbooks don't mention. So this tendency of the mind not to allow new things to flow in. So much new material. I remember one Sri Aurobindo's own incident where he was teaching Life of Nelson in Baroda. And one of the students remarked that, sir, but this is not there in the book, in the history book. And Sri Aurobindo says, throw that book out of the window. Mother would go on to say, history seldom documents all the things that have happened. So then a door opens, a door of insight. The third process is, instead of thinking by thoughts, to think by ideas. Concepts and ideas. Ideas are power-packed. Thoughts are born from that. And that's a very simple process to it. All creative writers know this. One of my first experiences in spontaneous writing, almost 30 pages which came, was simply I was thinking about India. And so many things started coming up. So the entire Upanishadic literature, and in spiritual life, you meditate upon an idea. Idea is like a capsule. It explodes after a time. And when it explodes after a time, it reveals many, many, many truths which are packed inside it. So instead of thinking by thoughts, one should learn to concentrate on the idea. For example, there is this, to give an example, the difference between the two. So we have this great idea, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, one of the greatest, or Sarva Khalvidam Brahman. So when you meditate upon the idea, the mind will say that, well, if all is Brahman, then what is this appearance? What is a snake? What is the wicked and the vile? This is also true. We can't deny it. It's fact. If all is Brahman. So the mind will run around all is Brahman and ultimately probably end up saying, well, in its essence, all is Brahman. But not in the manifestation. Otherwise, there will be chaos. I can't say, Sarpa Brahman, come, I'll put you around my neck. Well, be Shiva before you try that trick. Don't even try to ride a bull just because Shiva rides. You have to be Shiva to tame a bull and to put a snake around your, you know, neck. But if you just let the idea, without letting the mind run around it, all this that is the divine. Sarva Khalvidam Brahman. So then after a while, if you meditate, this was the idea Shobindo used to meditate upon when he was moving in Alipur jail from the Goshala to the place where prisoners were weaving things. Then after some time it will explode. And then it will reveal a still greater truth. How all this is the divine, how the distortion comes in, how the divine limits himself, and how in terms of action you have to deal with differences. It's so amazing. The idea reveals itself in all its rainbow hues, in all its dimensions. Then you discover that even darkness is nothing but a concealment of light. There is no original darkness. So if you, it will give us new ways of dealing with darkness. So what do you do with deal with darkness? I'm just giving one example of when the idea explodes. Normally there is darkness and light within us, around us. So how do we deal with darkness? You fight with it. Or you quit it and go towards light. Asado ma sadgamya, tamaso ma jyotirgamya. We all have heard this, no? Mrityor ma amritam gamya. But look at the other way to looking at it. There is immortality hidden behind the mask of death. There is light hidden behind darkness. There is truth hidden behind falsehood. So asado ma sadgamya gives a new meaning altogether to extract the truth which is hidden behind falsehood. And it has practical implications. Mother says that in all our life experiences, one way is to shun everything. But she says we have to extract that ingot of gold which is hidden behind so much of, it's like the wheat grain behind the chaff. So you have to go to that depth, and in every experience of life, in every contact, in everything, there is something like a grain of gold. And that is worth it. It gives us so many new ways of handling psychological problems, because we want to run away, we want to escape, but extracting that grain of gold and taking a treasure, it gives a new meaning to the karmic law. So what is karma? Good and bad? No. Karma is the wealth you are carrying. What is the wealth? Did you extract the gold from that experience? No, I was busy with good and bad. Oh, no, go back. You have to experience that again. And experience it again till you learn to extract. So that is a wealth you carry. You come back with that gold. So people, when they say that karma you bring, there can be a totally new meaning to this whole karma. It's an evolutionary mechanism and not a mechanism of reward and punishment. So there can be so many. I'm just giving an example, meditating or just reflecting upon the depth of an idea, the power of an idea. Shobindo goes on to say that keep that idea inside. Don't make too many plannings. The idea has the power. It will unfold itself. It will generate its own energy. For example, the entire French Revolution started with the idea of freedom, equality, fraternity. People died. It was declared that the revolution is a failure. But even Indian Constitution, very interestingly, has enshrined these three ideals. And one wonders, how come it has come here? Neither the British had this idea, Indians had, but way back times, in a different way. But you see the constitution, the French idea has come in. Freedom, equality, fraternity. So this is the power of the idea that it unfolds. And the fourth way, which is of course takes us straight to the heart of the problem, to learn to keep the mind quiet. Most creative writers or authors or inventors reach this third stage. They have like Eureka, Archimedes, how to do it. So you have a problem, you are thinking about the problem, you don't know how to solve it. So Sri Aurobindo gives a beautiful example. He said, the more you think about the difficulty, the more it appears unsurmountable. And then he gives a subtle law of life. And the subtle law of life is that turn your mind away, allow it to be quiet, and suddenly a solution will come, pop. And the solution may be very strange. So many times I've experienced it. This is not a difficulty, this is an opportunity. Shobindo speaks of it in Savitri, that it is the soul's opportunity. Never looked at it like that, because I was not looking at it correctly. So very often people ask me this question in India, Indian thought, you people meditate, this, that. What are you going to do with all this meditation? Can you really solve the problems of the world? So my answer is, you will at least understand the problem correctly. If you don't understand the problem, you are solving, you have not solved. See, entire medicine, has it cured, healed? No. We can contain. Because you have looked at the problem wrongly. The problem is not outside you, problem is within, in your own immune system. See how Ayurveda worked up towards it now, not the modern Ayurveda. Ayurveda said that you should be able to develop immunity against diseases. Now we are talking about that. So strengthen your immunity. And see, it is such a thing. If I am vulnerable, I'll be hurt. And I can't deal with this hurt, that hurt, 100 hurts. But if I make myself invulnerable, then it's a real solution. So it is about looking at the problem very differently. So the mind should practice quietude. Otherwise, creative people meditate upon the idea. Then all writers, it's called as e-stress. So the idea goes into a heat and then it gives birth to maybe a book or a invention. But in its place, if we just teach the mind to remain quiet, to be just silent, still, before we try something, before we are going to invent something, before we are going to write something, before we are going and expressing some thought in a circle or a group, don't prepare. This is Aurobindo's recipe. Don't prepare. This is the recipe which was given to him. He said, how will I speak? My mind is still. How am I going to give talks in Pune and other places? So Lele Maharaj tells him, you just remain quiet. Do pranam to Vasudeva within and to Vasudeva around. And then he will speak through you. I said, this is so wonderful. You don't have to prepare anything. He said, wonderful. I said, good. So people often ask, how are you giving so many talks? I say, Sri Aurobindo's recipe. When we prepare, we are creating formations. This is a big problem. That's why scholarliness and academia has destroyed creativity. It destroyed it in Europe. You hardly see now really new, insightful, creative things coming. It's the same extension. And it is destroying this in India. Because everywhere you have how many references, any book you write, you know, how many references of this article, where are the sources? You have finished creativity. It's inversely proportional to scholarliness and academia. That's why you will see that academic people are hardly creative. They are simply parroting. They are piecing things from here and there and making collages. So you can make new collages, different collages, but collage is a collage, okay? So learn to keep the mind still. Allow the creator to really speak through you. So I take this to the last step. Creativity comes from the creator. There is only one creator. Open to the creator and he will create through us. That's called manifestation. I'll close with one little something that had come to me long back. I still remember one of those aha moments in Kumbhigram where I was posted as an Air Force officer, first posting. On temporary duty, not posting, but temporary duty. And I was going with some other people and my habit carrying a diary and writing something. So a thought had come pop and I had noted this. That time I used to write thoughts from the moon because I didn't know what is the source. And that's something which I have tried to follow because it's something which I have found is beautiful. So I'm sharing, but it's not about me, but a thought which came from somewhere. And the thought was, if you want to follow, you want to follow. If you want to follow, follow the divine. If you want to be original, if you want to be original, the other way around, if you want to follow, follow God. Walk in his footsteps. And if you want to be original, become divine. That's the only way that you can really be original, because he is the originator, he is the creator. The more we get connected with the divine consciousness within us, that's why in the Vedic time we see a flurry of creativity in the field of poetry, in the field of science, in the field of geometry, in the field of art, dance, aesthetic, everywhere. All of them were rishis. Bharadwaj is a rishi who actually invented, you know, that flight. Viman Shastri is there. Ayurveda. So that is the way that, you know, connecting with the creator is the ultimate way to creativity and to also original thinking. Because the creator every moment recreates this whole world anew. Something new enters which we don't notice. And so if we connect with him, our life will be full of perpetual newness. And one disease will surely be driven away, and that is known as boredom. The sign that you are connected with the divine is that you will never be bored, even if you are alone for hours and days and on end. Jai Ma, thank you.